I want you to think this morning, because we're going to go into something that probably never preached before, but the Lord has been teaching me some stuff. I haven't tried it out on Kirk yet. Try it out Friday morning as people were just sitting around the table. Just begin to bless some of the workers at Woodland and pray a prayer of blessing over them. Kind of caught them off guard because we've never done that before. Just to seeing what happens. We are quick to respond with anger at times. We are quick to respond with words that are not edifying. We're quick to speak our peace of mind at times, and sometimes, if your conscience is working, we regret it later, but they're out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Bible says that the tongue is full of deadly poison. How many know that? And he says, with it we bless God, and with it we curse people, which ought not to be so. I want to give you a new way of life. I want to have a new way of life. Because there are times on vacation, I can be very mean. And they deserve everything I say, but... And so this morning, I want to just go into something, and maybe as Marnie was talking about the prodigals coming home, how are you going to greet them if they come home? With "I told you so"? With "you got what you deserved"? We can go through all different kinds of things. And as you're praying for your kids, and I have children that aren't living for the Lord, at least I don't believe they are right now. They're going to be. But is there a reason for them to come home? Is there a reason for words that we say and that we do to people who aren't living for the God? For God, are all that we're concerned about is their sins? Is that the only thing we bring up, or do we start blessing them? I want you to think about it. Seriously, think about it. Because if people are going to come to Christ, we need to have a different approach, at least at times, okay? And we need to take a look at things, because the Bible says in James chapter 3, with this tongue, we bless God. How many of you bless God this morning? How many praise God? How many are going to say the same blessings on the people that you meet after church as you're driving home and somebody says something that bugs you? Do we understand? You know, somebody said a long time, you get more out of people with sugar than what? Vinegar. I just changed it. You get more out of sugar than you do jalapenos. But there are literal times we want to burn somebody. And that doesn't come from God. You know, we say we don't want revenge, but we just want to put people in their place. And so Psalms 103 is very interesting, and I'm going to start blessing God, and I'm going to end up with blessing people. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me," do what? Bless his holy name. I believe many of you this morning, maybe all of you this morning, determined that you were going to bless God. Did you? And so we think of all that he's done for us, and Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good... Whoa. Satisfies my mouth with what? Good thing. Bless the Lord. Why should we bless the Lord? How many believe he's worthy? How many believe he deserves it? How many believe that all he's done for us and all that he's doing for us and everything that's going on, we should literally take time every day to thank him, to praise him, to honor him? That's what blessing means. Praise, thanksgiving, honor, appreciation. How many are just totally, absolutely thankful and appreciative of what Jesus did for you? I know nobody's going to say no, but some of you won't respond because you won't respond to nothing. There's a day you're going to respond, and that's when you bow before the Lord and say, thank God I made it. And so we come to a place and you realize you choose what you're going to do with your tongue. And I'm responsible for what I do with my tongue. And so the words that I say to God are most likely 99% of the time thankful. But to be honest, there are times I say, why? Anybody else? You know, as you're talking to God, why, God? What's going on? And so how many understand we're supposed to bless the Lord? We're told to bless the Lord. Fact is, it's basically a command. He doesn't say, I think you should. He says, bless the Lord. But what about people? I don't want you to get hung up here, but I want you to think from, is there somebody you see often besides pastor that absolutely irritates and bugs you? Anybody, you know? Have you decided not to like somebody?
That wild man.
Yeah, you're a wild man, Or. And so we begin, and I want to begin in the Old Testament and end with the New Testament. I'm going to begin in the book of Numbers. And I challenge you to put this on your children. I challenge you to put these on your family. It doesn't matter if your children are living for the Lord or not. You've got nowhere cursing them. And you say, well, I didn't. Well, you know, you think they don't listen to me and they're not going to do what I told them and there's this and there's that. So I'm, you know, they're my daughter, they're my son, they're my family, they're my uncle, but I'm just letting them go. It's not the issue. What are you letting them go to? Where are they headed? And how are you going to deal with that? I don't want the people that dislike me or hate me to go to hell, let alone I don't want my children. Amen? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. And this wasn't Moses just thinking something. This was God telling Moses. How many is different if Moses would have said it? And how many understand there's difference if God said it? We okay? Now listen, look at me. I'm not trying to make it so Angie cries all the way home. This is not my purpose. You know? And I'm not making it so, Pastor, you'd walk out of here saying, Pastor thinks sin is okay. I didn't say bless sin. I said bless a person. How many understands that? Sorry, Ange. Love you. Verse 22 of chapter 6 of Numbers. Mark this in your Bible. Whenever you feel the frustration level rising toward your family, toward someone, somebody disagreed with you, something happened, somebody did something, you knew if they do it, they're going to have this repercussion. Take a look at this. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Number one, let's clarify what I said. Who's speaking?
The Lord.
The Lord. Okay? The Lord spoke to Moses. It's not Moses speaking to the Lord and saying, here's what I want to do. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. So say to them, okay? Who are they blessing? All the people. Millions of people. And how many realize in that group there were some that weren't crazy about God at that time? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now here's the key to that. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. By doing this, God said, you're putting my name on the children of Israel that multiplied millions of people, and I'm going to bless them. How many of us want our name put on our children? How many of us want our name put on the people we come in contact with? How many of us just simply want God's name put on our spouses? Now, I want to do something, and I don't do this very often, but I was thinking of this. I said, this is only going to take about 5 minutes, so I had to lengthen it out. And Kirk was tired, so he didn't have anything to add, maybe. So I went to the Amplified. If you want to get something amplified, go to the Amplified. And I thought, wow, this is even good to me. The old guy didn't know that this is everything that was meant. Numbers chapter 6, I want to read it to you. I wrote it down on my notebook, but I couldn't read it. So, and the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron and his son, this is the way you shall bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and watch and guard and keep you. The Lord bless you. The Lord watch and guard and keep you. How many have kids that are just on the edge of driving? Just on the verge of getting their license? Besides your insurance going up, there are nights you just lay awake. Where's the car? What they're doing? I hope they call. If they call, I know they're alive, so I'll ask them about the car. How's the car doing? That's a man thing. You women get in an accident and you call home, the first thing the husband's going to say is, how's the car look? Because they know you're okay because you're making the call. A woman always asks about the person. You know, how are you doing, honey? What do you mean, how am I doing? It's the car I'm worried about. So, as your children are leaving the nest, and some of them are still living at home, but they've left the nest. The Lord guard you. The Lord watch over you. The Lord keep you. Isn't that simple? It's simple. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, giving you favor. Wow, I want that for my children. I want that for Judy. And the Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Now, there's something so interesting here, and I just love it. God is saying, this is what I want to do to your family. This is what I want to do to your relatives. This is what I want to do to your friends and non-friends. So I said, okay, God. Friday morning early, about 6:30, a quarter to 7, we had several around the table. And I just said, I want to do something. I just want to bless you. I just said, Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. You know, a lot of, and I use that at funeral services when I dismiss the people. But for many, many years, they just became words because that was a benediction. That was a conclusion. You walk out, you don't think about it, and all of a sudden, something just opened up. I've been reading a book about grace and peace. And you may look at me and say, can I do that to a sinner? Yes. Yes. You say, well, how can that be? God loves that person. You're not condoning the action because you start doing it, you start praying that something breaks within them and you begin to see a change. I told the people Wednesday night I was reading this book. Now, I'm not telling any dirty stories, but... And this guy, they have a chapel there where people go into it, they just get zapped by God. And they had a group in the chapel. They had a group in the chapel. They were praying, and this guy comes by, and somehow they end up at this lodge in Wales. And he comes in, and he's using every dirty word and every unsavory word, and he's swearing in this Christian camp. And the guy was going to say something. The Lord said, just shut up. God has a way of persuading us. And the guy went on and on and on, and pretty soon he said, I want to see your campus. And so they were walking around, and he was using words that I never made up. And the guy is saying, you know, these ladies are praying in here. He didn't think into himself, these ladies are praying. I wish, you know, and he's going on, and they get by the door of the chapel, and all of a sudden he's on his face before God, crying out in repentance, crying out for mercy, saying, I'm just a terrible whatever. And everything changed. You know, we've been angry with people long enough. We've tried using the religious thing. We've tried beating them up with the Bible. We've tried cursing them. We've tried doing all kinds of things. And God says, why don't you try blessing them? Why don't you take a moment and speak some of my words into their life and see what happens? I know, you look at me and say, well, that means I accept them. You should accept them. What has rejecting them done? Boy, you're quiet. You know, at least I got one person thinking. The rest of you are taking a nap. I'm doing good today. Two people thinking. Anybody else thinking? Three thinking. Can I hear four? How about five, six, seven? But I want you to think about it. If we always treat people the way we've treated them, we're always going to get the same result. Is that logical? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I got a couple more things to tell you. Hebrews chapter 13. You see, I'm preaching to you something I want God to do in me. I'm so serious about this. I get angry at myself every once in a while. Because it's so much easier to condemn someone than it is to bless them. Because we feel justified. In chapter 13 and verse 20 of Hebrews, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant," now here's the blessing, "make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I bless you with that. I bless you with that. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Savior Jesus, the God of our Savior Jesus Christ, make you complete in every good thing. How many has ever looked at your life and said, something's lacking? Something's lacking. Something's not complete. Something's not fulfilled. But we never really take time to investigate it. And I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, at least part of it. I believe Paul is saying, God wants to fulfill, perfect, complete in you everything that is missing. Everything. Most Christians feel they don't know how to witness, they don't know how to do this, they don't know how to pray, they don't know how to do something else, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And God says, I want to complete. And you say, well, Paul wrote that. I want to take you, go with me to Philippians 1:6 real quick. Paul, of course, wrote what God told him. Put this verse on your fridge, especially if you have some insecurity in Christ. Paul writes in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1, "Being confident of this very thing, that he," and that's capitalized, "this God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." 1:6. Okay, look at me. How many will actually accept the fact that God will complete what he started in your life? Finish it. How many believe it? Okay. If you're not raising your hand, come on up here. I'm going to pray for you. Okay. Here we go. If you believe it for you, how about believing it for somebody else? There are people around us, in your home, your family, all over, that aren't even saved yet, that God wants to complete a work in their lives.
Will we
That's the question. Will you? You ask a question. I'll answer it with a question. You know, there are some people who have more problems with somebody else's life being completed than looking at themselves and saying, I need to be completed. And when you do that, you become very judgmental, and judgmental doesn't change anybody. What we need to do is start agreeing with the Scripture, not analyzing it and breaking it down and tearing out what we want. We need to agree with what's being said by God, because all Scripture was given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, rebuke, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You got to take what it says about you. Now I'm blessing you, even as I get angry. You got to take what it says about you and then realize if it, talking about you, if it refers to you, you give it to everybody else. Everybody else. As I've told you before, the Church of Jesus Christ is not God's pet. It's His pattern. It's His pattern for a lost and dying world. And God's pattern is that we are blessed and we bless God, and then we leave and we bless people. If that is not in your makeup, there's something wrong with your makeup. Hello. Love the way you're shouting. How many get tired of having squabbles at home? How many get tired of having squabbles with your children? How many get tired of having squabbles with your in-laws? How many get tired of having squabbles with yourself? Here's the deal. You can bless yourself. You can say, the Lord bless me. The Lord keep me. The Lord make His face shine upon me. The Lord be gracious unto me. Why not? You say, well, that's self-centered. There are times you got to be a little self-centered. You got to love yourself as you do your neighbor. Did you get that? And so we come to a place where we need to step into the deeper things of God. We need to step into the deeper things of God. We need to start living out His mercy, His blessing, His grace. Again, it's not just in here. This is where you're not being judged in here. You're being judged out there by the world. What kind of person am I? What do people see? And what do I see? We get so tied up with our goals and our visions and our projects, we step on people to get over them, and we don't bless them, and we don't love them, and we don't allow God to bless them. Because we got our goals, we got our plans, we got our objectives. If they're infecting us with a critical attitude, get rid of them. If you're looking at people just a way to meet your needs, you're wrong. and I'm wrong. There's such a better way to live. Such a better way to live. Husbands, bless your wives. Wives, bless your husbands. If something goes wrong, it doesn't do any good to blow up. After a while, you get tired of the couch and you get tired of not talking to somebody. God has designed a plan for His body to touch people. And the first people you touch is your family. If we're losing our families, we're losing. And sometimes we lose our families that we're so legalistic we don't see the grace of God. And we don't see the mercy and we don't see the compassion and we don't see it's got to be this way. Who said it has to be that way? If God hasn't said it, and if it's not in His word, it might be subject to change. Amen? I want God's best for you. I want God's best for me. I want God's best for Judy. But are we getting it the way we're acting and the way we're talking and the way we're responding to our family? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. How many believe that's true? The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. How many believe that's true? That was given from God to the people. And what are we given to the people? I do not want to be a hypocrite. And I choose not to be. What are we choosing? And I understand you may say, well, that's my nature, that's my character. No, it isn't. You got a new nature. That's not God's nature that saved you and gave you His divine nature, as the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. He's made us partakers of His nature. Let the old nature go. Take on all of His nature with His compassion and His love and His blessing. Let it flow. Amen?